go. The forming in a straight line. The going through a tight one. The kids are losing their mind.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Wednesday. Your week's almost half over.
Oh, you're almost there. Come on, jump on board with us.
Hey, complete coverage, not only here, but on KSL TV of the Coyotes' last game in Arizona. And then they're packing up, and we'll have NHL coming up next year to go along with the Jazz. Hopefully the Jazz a little bit better, too, next year.
Well, in the meantime, these play-in tournament games, Scotty, they're really sticking good. For those of you that didn't watch the Lakers and Pelicans, as well as the Warriors and Kings last night.
So long, Golden State.
Ooh, Golden State is gone.
Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out.
Oh, and by the way, when I say gone, as they're currently constructed, it's not happening. Well, yeah. Don't take my word for it. We do have the higher-level professionals here with us.
Let's talk to the expert on this. Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com joining us. Is it time to dig out the grave, lay the body down, and bury it back up again with the Golden State Warriors?
If you're Jontay Porter, this is a good time to get long odds on the Warriors' championship.
Oh, wow.
Kurt, I don't know. That's
off the top rope.
I think that's still stinging for Jontay. I mean, we're 2-3 hours out from that announcement, bud.
Yeah, that was a little harsh. They're really one of the most fascinating offseason teams, aren't they? Because there's just so many questions about, do you bring Klay back and at what price? I know that they would love to get him for less than $20 million a year, but there's teams like Dallas that has interest. Orlando has money and interest that may come in higher. So he's the one who really could be gone. Chris Paul's probably gone, too. I can't imagine they're going to bring him back. I thought he played well for them, but they're going to have minimum contracts to offer for that kind of role now. So they're not going to be the same next year. And I guess the real question is if you really want to win with Curry, you've got to do something pretty radical this year. And I just don't know if they're going to be up for that.
Well, yeah, and if you don't want to win with Curry, then meld the whole thing down. And
yeah, exactly.
So is there any chance there's a market, is some type of trade or some type of potential? And I don't know how many teams would want to touch Draymond Green, but is there any chance that Golden State's it's a wholesale, we are $400 million on payroll, we have got to start clearing some space. Is there any chance we see even a Wiggins hit the market and be available?
Wiggins, I think, is more likely than Draymond. Draymond's on a relatively reasonable contract for what he does, and he's also he's never been their best player, but he's always been their most important in some ways in terms of the defense and his ability to adapt and adjust and pick apart teams from the free throw line when he's, on the short roll. The things he does really fit with them well. And that's not true. He's just not plug and play. You'd have to put him in a very specific team and situation. I think it's more likely that they're going to test the market. In fact, I've heard that they're going to test the market for Wiggins. We'll see if that's a big contract, and he didn't play up to it this year, so I don't know how much of a market there is, but I think they're going to look around.
So Zion Williamson ruled out for Friday's game as they'll take on the Sacramento Kings. It was funny. We've been dogging on that guy for a while, but he did play 71 games this year. It was probably one of his better years health-wise, but to lose a game like this at this point in the season where it's do or die, I mean, that's a gut punch and doesn't help the dialogue that he just can't be there when you need him the most.
No, it really doesn't. And that game felt emblematic of his season, didn't it? Where you're like, he's played really well. He's had 40, and he was leading that comeback, and they were doing great. And there goes his calf, hamstring, with just minutes to go. So it's just hard to watch. I felt really bad for him. You could see how frustrated he was. He's finally lost the weight. He's finally done all these things, and his body still just betrays him like that. I felt bad for him, and Boy, that's quite the game now. No Zion, and the Kings are like without any shooting guards. Kevin Herter and Malik Monk are out. So like suddenly the Thunder into the second round looks really smooth.
So let's talk about the matchups that we now know for sure. We get to see New Orleans take on the Sacramento Kings. Can't wait for that one. I think that's coming up on Friday. But we know that the first round is going to be the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Kind of paint the picture for what to expect in the best of seven between those two teams.
It's not good for the Lakers. They've lost eight straight to them. They got swept out of the playoffs last year. They got beat in every game this year, and they all follow a pattern, which is frankly a lot of Nuggets games follow this pattern. But they play about even for 40 minutes, and the Lakers go all out and do all, you know, like they've got size. They can be physical. They can body up. It's like it works. They match up as well as anybody. You get about 6-8 minutes to go in the game, and Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray look at each other and go, all right, next gear, let's go. They start running two-man game, and it's over. It's just, I don't know that the Lakers, like, I think they're not going to get swept. I think they'll win one, maybe if D'Lo gets hot from, D'Angelo Russell gets hot from three, they can win a second one maybe, but this is not going to be much of a series. I just don't think they can. Ultimately, Denver's just better.
What do you think of the Cleveland-Orlando first-round series?
Do I have to watch it?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Orlando's got a real shot in that one.
I do too.
That's a real upset opportunity. They are defensively really good, and if they've got enough shot creation, they're going to do just fine. Cleveland's just kind of coming apart at the seams, which is going to make it if they lose this first round series, that becomes a really interesting first round.
That leads me to my next question because I think Orlando is certainly capable and Cleveland has not played good basketball. They had high expectations going into this season. Does that signal the end of Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland?
Now we're going to find out what he really wants.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland could offer him more money than anybody. Does he believe it? Is he happy enough? Does he believe in them enough to take that large payday? And I can tell you what his agent's telling him, which is take the payday. We can get you out of here in a couple of years. You're going to play a couple more years here and we'll get you out. But take the money on the table. Or is the money so big? He didn't make all NBA this year. He didn't play enough games. Might have had he. Is the money still so big for the 4-year deal he gets from, you know, traded to New York or wherever he lands? Philadelphia will have money this summer, like wherever he would go. Is that big enough where he's just like, man, I want out of here. I want to go. I finally want to go. Like New York's always been the room. I just want to go home. It's going to be interesting to see. I think we're going to learn what he really is going to value.
So where are we with the Dallas Mavericks right now? How good a basketball are they playing? And that 4-5 with them and the Clippers, I think there's some interesting storylines there, but just I want a better feel for how good Dallas is playing right now.
I think they've been the second best team in the West since a little before the All-Star break, really, but since the All-Star break, since that's kind of a natural thing. Maybe since January 1st, since the trade deadline when they got Daniel Gafford, and then they soon after put him in the starting lineup with Derrick Jones Jr. and gave them some defense, they've been a really good defensive team. And you combine that with Luka Doncic being Luka Doncic and just the master of the pick and roll. And cool. Man, Kyrie Irving has been a model citizen, been a good guy, fits in with them, obviously can play in the playoffs and has hit big shots. I think, the biggest threat to Denver is that team. And I wouldn't see him until the conference finals. It's not crazy to think that the Dallas gets all the way to the conference finals because their second round would, in theory, be Oklahoma City. So a young team that's beatable if they're defending well. I think that they've got a really big run in them. I think this is a good offseason to be a Maverick, or good playoffs to be a Mavericks fan.
So you got to understand, the Salt Lake mentality is that even when things aren't going well, or things are going well and there's some good opportunities, it usually doesn't pan out. And what that, you know, essentially the Jazz were in the sweepstakes for, you know, a lottery pick last year. Obviously, weren't unable to move up and get Victor. Next year, you got Cooper Flagg, and I don't know if he's going to live up to that expectations, be that number one overall pick. This year, this would feel like this would be the lottery that the Jazz would win, because because there's really nobody in that top two or three that just screams like generational player.
No, there isn't. And by the way, if you guys really enjoy self-loathing and thinking you're the better team but can't seem to win, you guys are going to love hockey. There's a sport kind of like soccer where, man, just the best team doesn't always seem to win because of a hot goalie. So, or other weird bounces. Now I lost the entire.
Well, I'm just.
This draft, when you're talking about Alex Saar at the top and a bunch of some other Europeans, there's guys with potential. There will be, you know, Masai Ujiri at the Raptors presser today, you know, for their end of their season, was like, hey, there's going to be a couple all stars out of this group. There always are, and we've got to find them, but they're not necessarily, there's nobody at the top where you look at them, and Wembanyama is not even a good example because it's such a freak, but like, there's not a Chet Holmgren in this. Like, there's not somebody where you're just looking at them going, this guy is going to be able to anchor me for years. It's a lot of, well, this guy's pretty good, and if he develops this and we can get this, and you know, this could be one of those years where the number one pick ends up being a nice rotation player.
Yeah.
Or better yet, I would say, to be fair, a solid starter. Like, the top couple picks could end up being solid starters, but that's not what you want with a number one.
So, Kurt, before we let you go, some news broke yesterday. BYU getting a deal done with Kevin Young from the Phoenix Suns. I know you've covered him and watched him plenty as he's made his rounds through the NBA. Give us a couple of thoughts on what type of coach BYU is getting for their basketball program.
A top flight coach, a guy who I thought was going to get an NBA job this year. That's, you know, that's never certain and always unpredictable. And I totally understand him wanting to go home, right, and be back in Utah. But they are getting one of the most respected NBA assistant coaches, and I think that helps, you know, that helps with recruiting in the sense of, hey, you want to get there, I know what it takes. Look, I've coached X, Y, and Z, and I've coached Kevin Durant, and I've coached all these guys. I've seen how they work. I've seen what they do. I can help you. That's a huge recruiting plus. They get a great X's and O's guy, and a guy, most importantly, who wants to be there, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's, I think, so hard to find in college, because unless you're, I don't know, Kentucky or – I don't know, I was about to say UCLA, but I'm not even sure if UCLA is still that job, where, like, I'm not going anywhere after this. I'm at Duke. I'm not going anywhere after Duke. If this were about a stepping stone, he'd be doing these NBA interviews because he's really close to an NBA job. And instead he's like, no, I want to go home. He's not leaving there for a long time. I think that kind of consistency is just so hard to get in college. That's huge.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us, and look forward to catching up again down the line. Enjoy these playing games and enjoy the playoffs coming up here.
Great stuff, Kurt.
As always, take care, guys.
You got it. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, ProBasketballTalk.com.